Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
This is TalkSport Daily.
Hello and welcome to another Andy Goldstein TalkSport Daily podcast with me, your host, who needs a bit of a haircut, actually. Yep, Andy Goldstein. I'll be getting a haircut, don't worry. It's every third Thursday is when I have them. And today, of course, it's Tuesday. Well, you can do the math. And a big old podcast coming your way if you've got plans maybe in the next half hour. And you're thinking, yeah, I'll download the podcast and in half an hour's time I'll be free. You probably won't be. It probably goes on a little bit longer. But there's so much goodness in it, it's worth being late. Even if it's like a job interview, or you're going to meet someone on a first date, or, no, that's it. You're one of those two things is, I imagine, what you've got in your day. Anyway, it begins with Stuart Psycho Pearce. Don't call him that. He'll go psycho. He was on the Sports Breakfast Show with Laura Woods. Hold on, what? Alan Brazil was in? You're joking. So Woods here at the day? Well, I do apologise. I stand corrected. So, it was Alan Brazil on The Breakfast Show, alongside Jamie O'Hara, talking to Stuart Pearce this morning, or yesterday morning now, explaining why he hasn't returned to the London Stadium since Chris Moyles rejoined.
I think the owners felt I was a little bit critical with the regime when we left last time and put the block on it. I'm delighted for David. I spoke with David in the lead up to sort of him going in, and he was keen for me to come and join him, but it's not to be. But the one thing I would say, I'm absolutely delighted that they've had a U-turn and decided to go back to Dave, because I've always said that I saw it firsthand, what a good job he'd done there last time in a tough, tough situation as well, and I'm delighted for him.
Now, of course, it was a busy old night on Andy Goldstein Sports World, Monday to Thursday from 10 p.m. And, of course, the first part of the show is predominantly a phone... Well, not predominantly, it's a phone-in show. 0871... It doesn't matter, there's no point saying it now. I mean, you're listening to a podcast, you're not going to call in. Well, you could call in now, but the show's not on, unless you're listening at 10 p.m, and in which case, stop now and go and listen live. Anyway, people phoned up who were Arsenal and Leeds fans because, of course, there was a big FA Cup game and it was live on TalkSport, don't you know?
Yeah, a little bit of niggle creeping in the game. Just watched a replay there around the halfway line. Lacazette just lashing out into one of the midfield players of Leeds.
Jason, I'm disappointed in you for the first time, actually. For the first time ever. I think for you to shout for a penalty, for a red card for Lacazette is so poor from you. I can't believe that. I can't believe what you just said.
Well, what's the difference between what he did and what Son did against Chelsea?
I didn't think it was a red card for Son either. That's like just so poor.
Okay, but if Son gets a red card, then why can't Lacazette? He kicked him.
Yeah, but did you see that? What happened before? It was like ridiculous. He held onto his leg for the whole. It should have been a foul.
Yeah, but I'm just saying he kicked him.
He's held onto his leg for the whole for like a good 30 seconds or whatever.
But so what? He kicked him.
Yeah, but it wasn't an actual kick, was it? It was like a little.
No, it was. He kicked him.
No, he did.
You
know what? You're an advocate for the game being too soft now. Like, I know you know, and you don't like the whole soft stuff, and you're calling for that. It's so poor.
I think he's saying by the letter of the law, Lee, that's a red card.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. Like, that's not really a red card.
It is. By the letter of the law, it is, Lee.
I'm sorry, if you kick someone, you're going to get... There's a chance you could get sent off. And I'm surprised that when VAR looked at it, he didn't get a red card. I'm surprised. Now, are you going to... Is it soft? Yes, I'll agree it is. I thought Son's was soft. But, unfortunately, if you lash out and kick out and it gets caught and VAR looks at it, there is a very strong chance you're going to see a red card. And I'm amazed that Lacazette didn't. I'm not saying that I believe in the... I'd like to see the game being given a little bit more freedom to not kick players, but not soft reds. But the letter of the law, Lee...
It wasn't even, like, malicious. It couldn't have broken his leg or anything like
that.
Doesn't
have
to be. Lee, are you... Just so I know who you are you arguing with the law or are you arguing with Jason's view on it?
A bit of both. I mean, a lot... The thing is, it's gone a little bit silly. We all know it's gone a little bit silly. That isn't, you know, that should never be a red card, and Son shouldn't have been a red card. It's not like completely dangerous. It's not reckless. It's not anything really. You can assess it on the basis of how severe it could be, definitely. But also Jason's opinion on it is, I'm just disappointed.
Let's go back to the Moose. He has got the Arsenal manager alongside him.
I have. Mikel Arteta is alongside me. First of all, that was a hard night at the office for your team.
Yes, we talked about it. We knew that they are one of the top sides in England. They battered every team every 3 days in the Championship. And I know the manager well and what he demands to the players. And I knew it was going to be exactly like this.
Is it a bit strong for me to say first half your team were outplayed?
Absolutely. They were outplayed. First of all, in terms of attitude, in terms of rhythm, in terms of winning every battle, every duel, they go man to man. If you don't win the duels against them, they make you look like a small team, you know? And I think the first duel we won, it was after 32 or 33 minutes, I think.
The one thing I would say is you've showed tonight what you are as a manager because your team came out second half, looked completely different, press, closed down, and probably actually on the second half display did deserve to win.
Yes, I think it was two completely different teams. It's good for me as well to understand how they respond to when they lose a game, when they win a game. And obviously I will learn as well how I have to treat them afterwards. But as well, I learned that they can react, you know, and what 3 or 4 days ago, everybody said it's a physical issue in the second half that we drop off. Today we finish like animals, pressing and going and winning every duel and attacking and wanting to score the second goal. And this is the team I want to see in the pitch.
Now, of course, it was a big old day on Talk Sport 2, as it was day 4 of the second test. It was Darren Goff and Manners, and alongside them were two people making their commentary debut, Rob Beckett, the brilliant comedian, and the equally brilliant comedian, Romesh. Brilliant stuff.
So, Rabada coming in for his next one. Sibley plays it away to his left there fairly safely. Gets a single. Beautiful work from him.
Whoa, hang on a minute here. Do I need to back that up? Absolutely spot on. Fantastic analysis.
Thank
Rabada
you.
Runs in. It's just a leg side delivery, just clipped off the leg of Dom Sibley, where he's been so strong throughout this test match, Dom Sibley, on anything that drifts onto leg stump.
Yes, England looking very, very comfortable here as a score ticks on. We're all wondering what they're gonna do. The strategy is unknown to us. We can only guess. And I would guess with very little knowledge if it was me. Rabada comes in for his next delivery. Is he getting frustrated? We'll see. Oh! Straight down his throat there. Unbelievably grabbed for it, but to no avail.
Am I watching a different game? It was a short ball from Rabada. It was a punch who almost tried to pull from Ben Stokes, but he didn't quite catch it. He went back past the bowler. He got one run for it.
Yeah, he did. It was sort of down his throat. England on 292 for 4. They lead by 338 as Rabada steams in again. Oh, he's left that. There's no buffet ball there. Very tight. No point going for that.
You're still on the air, Romesh.
That's the end of the over.
They're all wandering off, aren't they?
It's a drinks break. It's a drinks break.
There's a robot on the pitch.
There's
what's
drinks,
that?
Drinks break and a segue.
It's a segue.
Yes, they're having a little bit of a break. Goffey?
Yeah, it's time for drinks here at the Newlands. They're having a short break.
What other sports, guys, do you have a drinks break every hour?
This is the kind of sports I'd like to get involved with, I think.
It's not...
I tell you what, I'm a big fan of drinks and meal breaks. That's one of the big things of cricket for me. I love it.
Will it be strictly drinks, or may they pop back a little snack at this stage?
Oh, yeah. Jelly beans, bananas.
Oh.
Go for a jelly bean and a banana.
Not at the same time.
No.
It's one or the other. Yeah. No one's boshing back a banana and free jelly beans, are they?
You can't have a burger and chips at this stage, or a pint. It tends to be... rehydrate, doesn't it? A little bit of that and a little bit of water. The England players, the tactics, the two guys in the yellow bibs. You can't see, obviously, because we're on radio, but there's two guys come out with yellow bibs. They're going to be, they're the substitutes, and basically they might relay some tactics that come from the captain, Joe Root, telling them how they want to play. South Africa are having a huddle and discussing how bad a morning they've had so far, because it's not been a good morning for South Africa, has it?
No, it has not. And it feels very delicately poised, Goffey. If you were in charge, what would your thinking be on in England? How many runs do they need to get up on the board before they can hand over?
Well, I think they've got enough now.
Declare.
That's the one.
Yes, yeah.
How do you think we got on with the commentary? Could you give us some feedback?
It was a start.
Yep.
Definitely. I think a bit more knowledge on the field positions from you, Rob.
Okay, sure. Okay.
Lots of men on the boundary doesn't really convey to the listener. Because remember, you've got to be the listener's eyes.
Sure.
Okay.
When you start commentary, you need to imagine some family members in a room that you're describing the action to. Imagine some people you know, friends and family, that's where you start. Then you add some strangers, then you add some neighbour, then you add some real blind people into this imaginary room that you're talking to.
What
so
room?
You
Sounds
are
like the
there.
Worst stag do ever.
Sounds rammed. I'm bumping into each other.
So you need to... Cause there are people driving now around the UK and around wherever they may be, sitting in their lounge, listening. And so you need to describe exactly what's happening. Information is the key thing, but describe what you're seeing now. So
What about Romesh? How would he get on?
Better.
Oh, right. Okay. That's fine.
I'm afraid you'd be in second place, though. Rob.
Yeah,
you got off to a great start. The second one, you were disappointed.
If I'd have retired after the first ball, that would have been great, wouldn't it?
Yeah, you'd have got a BAFTA for that.
And you can download TalkSport's cricket podcast. Blimey, another podcast. We got in there. Just read on. Okay, fine. You can download that podcast once the test match is done and dusted. I mean, it's pointless doing it now. It's not over. It's called Following On. Oh, I like that. It's very clever because that's what you call it. That's a cricket in terms of... I mean, you could have called it How's That? That's probably been done. Or you could call it LBW, but, I mean, that doesn't mean anything, does it, apart from leg before wicket? Or you could call it, I don't know, Deep Fine Leg. Actually, no, that's a DVD I still have from Jason Cundy. Must give him that back. Anyway, it's with Mark Butcher. This is Following On, not the one I've got off Cundy. Darragh Goff and Steve Harmson, or Harmy, for a review of the second test. So download that. When it's done and dusted. No one uses that terminology anymore. Right, time now for Jamie O'Hara. And this is his reason as to why there were plenty of empty seats in the FA Cup third round matches on the Alan Brazil Sports Breakfast Show with Laura Wood. No, sorry. I forgot. Big Al turned up, didn't he?
For me, with the attendances, it's easy to say, oh, you know, that they're disrespecting the FA Cup. But you've got to look at it as well on this for me, Al, is one, a lot of people spend a lot of money over Christmas. You know, so it's not cheap to go and watch certain games. And if you're a season ticket holder, you won't have the FA Cup as part of your ticket. You know, you only get the league games. So, you know, so they will probably think, I'll give this one a miss. So then you've got people that, you know, are going to it and thinking, do I go? Am I not? They probably make a lot of changes. So you're going to see a lot of teams and a lot of fans go, this is one that I'll just think I'll miss. And it's hard. But that's just the nature of it because we've had so much football, you know, with all the fixtures over Christmas and everyone knows the traditional Boxing Day games, you know, New Year's Day games. And then you have one weekend where, you know, it's one where you think we'll give this one a miss.
Time now to head over to the mid-morning show with, of course, Jim White and Natalie Soyer. And Danny Murphy was in the studio slamming Everton for their performance against Liverpool. Slamming. Have a listen to Murphy slamming Everton.
Some of those Everton players need to look in the mirror today. Lack of energy, lack of desire. Step out, press, go and try and get, you know, especially the reaction after going a goal down. You know, risk it. But you're talking about FA Cup and a Merseyside derby. I mean, step out, from the midfield areas, press higher. Liverpool comfortable on the ball, 10, 20 yards of space, knocking it about like a testimonial after being 1-0 up. It was embarrassing. Now, that could be, you know, you can look at a manager in terms of his tactics, but ultimately, the players on the pitch, you react. You know, the passion kicks in, you the anger, the frustration, the desire all kicks in. Now, whether they weren't fit enough, and some of them also, the physical attributes of some of the Everton players, especially in the middle of the park, didn't have the legs to get about.
Now, of course, there's a big game of football on tonight. That is the Carabao Cup semi-final first leg at Old Trafford, Manchester United against Man City. And a reminder, you can have your say after that game is finished, provided Man United win, on Andy Goldstein's Sports Bar from 10 p.m. This is the manager of Manchester United, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, looking ahead to that big game, which is live on TalkSport.
I think form goes out the window when we play each other. It's you'll go on the local derby, adrenaline and the atmosphere. That's going to be important. And on any given day, any given game, can change within a moment. A referee's decision or some luck, an injury or a red card. So, but we know they're a top team. And I've said it before, I've admired Pep's teams. They've raised the bar so much since Pep came. The standards he's set and their team has set is something for us to aim for. There are two games, so we have to know that when this game's finished, it's half time. You've still got to go to Etihad and finish the job off if we do well tomorrow. All right. So, yeah, definitely, it's a two-game tie, but we just focus on this one now because it's still 3 weeks to the next one.
That's, of course, Manchester United against Manchester City. It's the Carabao Cup semi-final first leg. Coverage starts on TalkSport from 7 p.m. It's Mark Saggers.
I'm on at 7.
I just said that, Saggers. Stop shouting. He presents from Old Trafford.
I'm from Old Trafford.
Will you shut up? Just... apologies. Commentaries from Sam Matterface and Danny Mills and Trevor Sinclair. Right, we can head over now to Hawksby and Jacob, where they were doing stuff on Monday.
I am Britain's worst online shopper.
Are you really?
So on
Friday... sounds like a Channel 5 9 o'clock show, that does.
Quinton Wilson. Yeah. On Friday night, I decided, because it's my wife's, so we were watching a programme on the Royal Ballet. Oh, my wife loves the ballet. And it's her birthday coming up. So I said, should I get you tickets for the... I like the ballet too, so should I get tickets for Covent Garden? You know, it'd be fantastic.
What's on? Is it Man On?
Man On.
That'd be perfect.
The football ballet.
It's the football ballet, Man On. Yeah.
So anyway, after a lot of fiddling about, for some reason, I'm not Mr. Culture. I decided to, I thought I'd book tickets for La Boheme.
Which is not a ballet, is it?
No, it's an opera. I hate opera. I really hate opera.
Buy any spares. Why did you buy tickets for...
Because I didn't realise. Because their website, as I said to them the next day, when I was trying to get my money back...
Maybe it's Love OM, the sing-along musical, a bit like Mamma Mia, where they do those
I said,
ones.
Your website's very confusing. I said, you've got all the events together. I said,
You know anything about ballet / opera. They probably work on the basis.
If I tell you that... These tickets were eye-wateringly expensive.
Yeah.
Almost as much as the Brentford season ticket. How much they were.
So you've got to spend...
I like
the opera, and it's not a bad...
It's ridiculous. I think it was like one tickets were like 150 quid restricted view. What?
That's no good.
Another tickets behind, were like about 180...
They've got an old Archibald Leach stand there. That's why, because you're behind the pillar, aren't you?
About 180 quid each, these tickets. And they said, but people be warned that people will be standing directly behind you. So I thought, I don't want to have 180 quid. I don't want people standing directly behind me.
Yeah.
Sneezing on
worrying.
Worrying.
Shouting like that bloke at Brentford, yeah.
Anyway, going through the whole thing, decided to go for it, the most expensive tickets.
And you bought them for La Boheme.
And then to discover, I said to her, I think I've bought tickets for the opera. So she started laughing because she knows I hate the opera.
Yeah.
And then I went on the website and it says no refund. So I was going, oh, no. But in the end, they were very nice.
Oh, have you been? Has it already happened?
No. I phoned them up. The good people at the Royal Opera House took pity on me.
So they're better than the Chelsea ticket office, are they?
I wouldn't like to say that.
So what did they do? They took the tickets back.
Yeah, they gave me a refund. which is good.
And have you now bought ballet tickets?
Well, I haven't, because I invested in the Brentford season tickets. So I decided to spend the money on that instead. I'm sure we'll very much enjoy Brentford against... Well,
so you're, is that, so instead of a night... So basically, she's gone for all the rigmarole and all the trauma of you effing and jeffing around the house, and a massive amount of phone calls to the Royal Opera House, and now she's got to go and watch Brentford versus Fulham.
I'm Jim White, and this is TalkSport Daily.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am, but Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Time now to head over to Drive Time, where they had an OB. And if you're not in the media world, that stands for outside broadcast. And yeah, they were doing that from the Emirates ahead of the game, which saw Arsenal take on Leeds.
Yeah, but their show starts at 4, and that game didn't kick off till 8 p.m.
Yep, I know, I still don't know why they were there. Anyway, this is Adrian and Darren Bent, or Benty, discussing who could be a good backup for Harry Kane.
I mentioned Danny Ings on Friday's show, and I think it is the perfect fit given Spurs' situation, because he'll get games straight away. Harry's out until the end of February, isn't he? Mm-hmm. End of February at the earliest, he'll be back, we understand. And who knows what happens after that? Does he come back and stay fit straight away? Does he play every single game like he did last year and then get injured again? I think that they've got to be very careful in how they deal with yet another injury for Harry Kane. Mm. So Ings plays games up until Harry's back fit. And then they should still be in the Champions League, possibly. They're trying to get into the top four. They may even still be in the FA Cup. You're not telling me, Darren, that there won't be games for Danny Ings to play. Of course they'll use him. And here's the key. Danny Ings, I don't want to upset. I've already had a text from a Southampton fan saying, stop talking about Danny Ings leaving. I understand that. But the player would want to go to play Champions League football. He'd want to go to give himself the best opportunity to get in the England squad for the Euros as well.
Of course, yeah. And people, when I said about Danny Ings getting potentially an England call-up, people kind of laughed it off. And I don't see how you can do that. Because he's at Southampton, a team that are struggling in the Premier League. And he's single-handedly keeping them afloat with his goals. I mean, 13 Premier League goals already is insane. But you're right. I mean, if Spurs were to go and get Danny Ings and say he scores, I don't know, 5-6 goals before Harry Kane gets back, I don't think automatically Harry Kane walks back into the team, because if you're getting the best out of someone, you're winning games now, you've got someone who can stick the ball in the back of the net. Why? I know Harry Kane's important and one of the world's best, but he'd have to be patient. How can you change the whole dynamics of a team that are doing really well, winning games, pushing up the league, to accommodate someone who, yeah, we've seen before the injury, is a world-class striker, but still maybe not 100%. So I think for me, I mean, that's a perfect fit. If Daniel Levy was to seriously go and get Danny Ings, I think that would be a great, great signing.
Back now to the cricket, and here's England batsman Dom Sibley on his century he made earlier on day four in the second test, live on TalkSport 2. And then we'll hear from Butch, Goffey and Harmy, who, incidentally, this is hot off the press, are in talks to do the new third edition of Three Men and a Baby. That'll be Butch, Goffey and Harmy. And the baby, of course, will be the moose. So look out for that in cinemas around about July time this year.
Sweet shot from Dom Sibley. Yes. He's got his 100. Sibley sweeps Maharaj for four behind square leg, and in just his seventh innings for England, he's reached 100.
I didn't sleep too well. I was probably up about 2 a.m. watching TV and watching the Test match in Australia. So, 15 runs felt like a lot, especially when Stokesy was whacking it around and I was sort of nurling it. So, just glad that I got over the line. You've got to be true to yourself, and it's been frustrating the last couple of knocks. I've got in and done the hard work and then not kicked on. So to get a big score in this innings, and obviously to get 100 as well, is really pleasing and sort of, yeah, like you say, sort of shows that I'm doing the right things, and hopefully continue to do that.
Sometimes if you're face fit, you get selected quite early, and I don't think some players get a nod before they should. And I don't think they understand what it's about to perform at first-class level. And this is going up another level. Test cricket is an amazing, amazing game. Mm. It's a real battle between bat and ball. Yes, it's favoured the bowlers over the last 3 or 4 years. We know that with some of the pitches they've played on. But I agree. If you're a bowler, you go out there, bowl overs, get some overs under your belt, learn the game, learn the trade, get fifers, get fourfers. If you're a batsman, get hundreds. And you'll have to say, Dom Sibley, everybody in England now will be over the moon for him, because he's an advert for county cricket. He's had to work really hard. He's had to move counties. And he's gone and got hundreds on pitches that have done a bit in county cricket. And he deserved the selection. And everybody's been rooting for him back home, who's involved in county cricket, to show that there is some good players out there. So well done, the selectors, on picking Dom.
Yeah, absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more. So let's throw this forward to tomorrow. Some might be at home thinking, oh, well, England have blown it. They've not left themselves enough time to bowl South Africa out. It's flat. There's nothing happening. We've all been in situations like this, either in first class or test match cricket. The feeling out on the field is never a panic like that. It's more, well, okay, yeah, it's pretty flat. We've got the ball doing a little bit of reverse at the moment. We've got a new batsman to bowl at potentially tomorrow morning. And you get one and you can end up with three happening in a hurry. That's what England will be feeling, isn't it, gents?
Most definitely, Butch, 100%. They'll get to a point where, yeah, a bit like Centurion, you think, oh, England's going to win this, and it just doesn't happen. The history of the game tells you, this beautiful game, this game that we love, tells you that you don't chase over 480, you haven't been able to chase over 418. So I think England will always believe that at any given point tomorrow, one will bring two will bring three, and then, you know, they'll clean the tail up. There will be passages of play where South Africa will be on top, but I think that what it tells you is, you know, have England pulled out too late? No. If England don't bowl South Africa out tomorrow and it does become a draw, South Africa, miracles happen in the win. England haven't deserved to do it. They haven't bowled well enough. So if they put enough balls in the right area, like they did today, I thought England bowled very well today. I just thought Milan left the ball beautifully. If they do that, they'll win this tomorrow.
Well, that's it for another podcasty thing. Well done. I mean, if you're listening, put your right hand in the air, bend it at the elbow and pat yourself loudly on the back. If you can't do that, maybe you've got a tight coat on, or you're like old and you've got problems with your arms, or you're young and you've got problems with your arms. My advice is go and get your arms checked out. You should be able to easily do that. Anyway, you've been listening to Andy Goldstein's TalkSport Daily Podcast with me, Andy Goldstein. Please click and subscribe. We went over this yesterday. No one does click, but make sure you press that button where it says subscribe. You can do it via Acast, Apple Podcasts and Spotify. And don't forget, oh, this is really important, don't forget the second test match between England and South Africa is live and exclusive on TalkSport 2 right now if you're listening after 8 a.m. and or before 5 p.m. on Tuesday. If, of course, you're listening after 5 or before 8, pay no attention to what I've just said. I'm going mad. And a quick reminder, after that Carabao Cup first leg semi-final between Manchester United and Man City, I'll be taking calls from 10 p.m. on the Sports Bar Thanks for listening. Be safe, everyone. Be safe.
That was a podcast from Talk Sport.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.